This morning's reading is Luke chapter 3, verses 10 to verse 18. I will read. I just kindly ask the congregation to please follow in your Bible. Luke chapter 3, verse 10. These are the people who were coming to John the Baptist. And the people asked him, that's John the Baptist, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and saith unto them, "He that had two coats, let him impart to him that had none. And he that had meat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Enact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Please be seated, remain open, and may God choose to bless his word. Okay, let's get the picture from last week's reading, and now we're going to add this particular reading. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist and Jesus, as I told you before, were both cousins because their respective mothers were cousins as well. So John the Baptist and Jesus were related within a family by marriage and by blood. Well, John the Baptist now is fully grown, and it was his mission to preach a gospel of repentance, repent and believe the gospel message. And then one day, his cousin Jesus comes to the Jordan, and John the Baptist tells everybody who was present on that occasion, "Behold," or "Look," really look intently, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." And the image of the Lamb of God would have taken the Jews all the way back to Exodus, the story of the Exodus, where the night before they were told to leave Egypt, everyone had to slay a lamb and apply the blood on the outside of their door. And when the death angel came that night as the tenth and final plague upon Egypt, when the death angel saw the blood on the outside of the doorpost and the lintel, the angel would pass over and the firstborn of that house would not die. But if the angel came to a house that had no blood on the outside, whoever was the firstborn of man and animal in the house died. And there was a great wailing, a great cry. And apparently Pharaoh, who was waging war against Moses and not letting Israel go free, he lost a son that night, that terrible night. And so when John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," every Jew who heard John the Baptist automatically in their mind had a picture of that first Passover night with the killing of an innocent victim, in this case an animal, and its blood being applied. Well, John the Baptist was preaching. People were getting saved, confessing their sins. And did you notice three groups of people come to John? And they're basically saying this: "All right, now that we have gotten right with God, now that we have confessed our sins and we are saved, we've been forgiven, what's next? What do I do with this Christianity, with this new life?" So let's look at it. Verse 10. The people asked him, saying, "What shall we do?" Okay, verse 10. What should we do? Well, John gives them an example. He answered and saith unto them, "He who had two coats, let him impart to him that had none, and he that had meat, let him do likewise." So, okay, now that you're a Christian, What do you do with your Christianity? Do you put it in a bottle? Do you hide it under a mattress like many do today? No. John says, okay, some of you people, you have more than enough. If you have an extra coat in the closet that you haven't been using for quite some time, and there's a poor chap across the street sitting in the cold with the bare essentials on, why not take that coat and give it to the guy who's freezing? Or those of you with food enough in your pantry and in the stomach and in the fridge, why not go someplace and take a family who's really destitute, they've fallen on hard times, and why not just simply bring them a meal? Wow. How's that grab you for showing your Christianity? What's next? The publicans come to him. Now, beloved, these were the tax collectors who would swindle people. I explained that to you. If it came time to pay taxes, you have Jews working for the Roman government to collect taxes. And so a regular Jew living in the community would hate these Jews on the Roman payroll because you're squeezing money out of your own people for the enemy. And so the publicans were hated and they were despised. So if you owe the Romans $10 and you came up to the publican's table, he would say, 20. 20? Taxes went up. So you throw two tens. He takes one 10, puts it in the box for Caesar, takes the other 10. Well, there's my happy meal for the day. That's what they would do. And wonder of wonders, you see this book? Matthew? Ex-tax collector. One of Jesus' first apostles. So if God can turn around a government robber, he can turn anybody around. So what does John tell these tax collectors? Verse 13. Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. You know what he's telling the tax collectors who go back to their table, but now they're Christians? If it's $10, don't say 15. Just take the 10 and let the Romans pay you the hourly rate that you agree to. Now look at the next one. Soldiers. Oh my. These are guys that have a shield and a sword, and they kill for a living. What are we to do? Do violence to no man. Do not take your position and your status, your shield and your sword, and your rank as a justification to do harm needlessly upon any. Ooh, that would sure curtail a whole lot of war crimes. What else does he tell these soldiers to do? Don't accuse any man falsely. Don't make a false arrest. And then lastly, be happy with your wage. Now, beloved, can I ask you a question? What if everyone simply did these three things in a given neighborhood or in a given society? How would life be? Nobody went around robbing you of your taxes. Nobody was accusing you of something you never did. And then you were able, out of the kindness and the generosity of all that you've been blessed with, is to go out there and bless other people. Like the Good Yarn Club. Here's a bunch of ladies who will never see any of these people where the finished product line ends up and at the homeless shelter, or at some other nonprofit agency during the holidays when they give away the caps and the scarves and the mittens and the blankets and whatever. These ladies will never see these people. And yet all year long, they get the yarn and those crochet hooks and they're going to town making stuff, tagging it, bagging it at the end of the year. And then we take it to the mission or they take it to whoever. And then it's simply distributed to people who are in worse shape than anybody in this house. And yet these women will never see these people, and these people will never be given the opportunity to say thank you. But from their generosity and with their talents and their skills, they're blessing other people. Now that's Christianity, where the rubber meets the road. It's more than just going to church. Christianity, beloved, is a way of life. It's not just simply a set of rules of do's and don'ts in your head. Christianity, beloved, transforms our lives whereby, listen to this, your hands are the extension of God's love. Your feet enables you to walk and to dispense the grace of God where there is no grace. Your mouth becomes the ability of you to tell others who God is, who God is and Jesus is, who've never heard of his name. And they can find forgiveness through him. Christianity, beloved, is a way of life. It's not simply a name tag that you put on your chest. In salvation, Jesus Christ changes us. He transforms us into a vessel that he can fill with his love and grace. And then you come along as that dispensing vessel and you pour that mercy and that love and that grace into another hurting person. That's what it means to be a Christian in action. Fear God. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and spirit, every fiber of your being, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. And here John tells these people who come to him, okay, now that I'm saved, what do? I'm a soldier. And John says, fine, do no violence, don't accuse anyone falsely, and be happy with your wage. And you tax collectors, now that you're a Christian, if it's $10, don't squeeze 15. Be content with 10, and the Romans will give you your hourly wage. Get the point, beloved? That's why we want you to get into the Bible. Let the Bible change you. Let the Bible speak to you. Let God speak to you better than me through his word. Well, may God bless his word.